Alrighty, what's going on, Vital MTB listeners? This is Jason Schroeder. It's currently Thursday morning, the first day of Sea Otter Classic. And I'm going to take you through kind of a day in the life of what media does walking around an event like this. You got a bunch of vendors, there's racing happening, there's a lot to check out, a lot of different people to talk to, and I'll just pull you along. Hopefully I'll get to run into a few different athletes, definitely chat with a bunch of brands, and yeah, the hope is to do one of these each day. So here we go. What's for breakfast?
Are you holding up the traffic? See you around.
I went to the Parish Bakery in Monterey, California after walking by the exotic foreign imports repair shop, seeing Bentleys and Minis, those cool little Italian cars where the whole front opens up. I got a croissant with cheese, fromage, and jambone ham.
My legs, you can say we're eating well. Sea Otter.
My legs weren't shaved enough to go into Captain and Stoker, so tomorrow.
Bro and Stoker?
Yep.
Pedal and Stoker. What's your name?
I'm Blizz.
Blizz?
Jacob. Yeah.
And so who are you guys with?
We're with Bike Builders of Berkeley. We're an engineering club from UC Berkeley.
Sweet.
We build road bikes, gravel bikes, and mountain bikes. We're a student-run club, basically mainly focusing on building bikes with our secondary goal of teaching people how to be better engineers. So cool. We try to bring in people who maybe don't have a lot of engineering experience. It's really hard at Berkeley to even get into clubs, and where you get a lot of your hands-on experience is clubs. And so we focus on, you know, bringing people in and teaching them the hands-on skills that they need to be successful in their career and with classes at Berkeley. And so, you know, we've got everyone working on this bike from freshmen to master's students, as Jake was saying, and everyone from mechanical engineers mostly, but we've got, I mean, Jake, our former president, is a CS major, and we've got art majors that help work with the design, and we've got a little bit of everyone in this club, and try to be as inclusive as possible and build some cool stuff.
Right, awesome. Do you guys have plans for the bikes you make, or is it just more concept and for fun and all that, or...
A little bit of both. We do. We are planning eventually on racing. There's a few other schools that have bike building clubs.
Awesome.
And we've been working on setting up a competition between the clubs.
That'd be fun.
On Saturday, we're doing a little competition with Cal Poly, one of the other bike schools.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little design and engineering competition, get a couple celebrity judges from like SRAM and things like that. And start helping create other clubs, you know, at other schools.
Yeah, eventually we want to race them. But we're not quite there. I mean, ours is raceable, but the other schools need to get their game up. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, generally we don't have an end goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the goal is just do engineering, make cool stuff, and ride bikes.
Sick. I dig it. That's cool. Yeah. Thanks, dudes. Awesome. I appreciate it.
No, of course.
Yeah.
All right, I'm here with Aaron from Maxxis, and he's just going to kind of give us a rundown of things that are new and exciting going into 24.
Yeah, got a bunch of new stuff happening actually. So mainly on the XC side, we have the Aspen ST, which is a short track version of the Aspen, super low profile, obviously for short track racing or like really buff cross country courses. So that's an entirely new tread pattern to the line, and that's one that's been available to teams. So we're doing that in a 29.225 and a 29.24. And then also in conjunction with that, we are doing team spec versions of both the Aspen ST and the standard Aspen. And those get a 170 TPI casing, our max speed rubber, which was updated last year. And these are the same, they're called team spec because this is what our pro athletes have run. And you've probably seen the test pilot hot patch from World Cup coverage over the last few years. So these were previously only available to our teams, but we're doing limited production runs on those. Like I said, the Aspen ST will be available in a 120 TPI casing. That'll be standard in the line going forward. But the team spec stuff is kind of more limited edition.
Mm-hmm.
And then besides that, we did a big size expansion on the Minion DHR. So we're offering that in a 2.5. That was another thing that was primarily reserved for teams in the past, but got a lot of requests from for the aftermarket for it, from our OE customers for everything from trail bikes to e-bikes. So we're doing that, bunch of new specs. I know, I hear you all groaning about more Minion specs. Trust me, I make the catalog, so I hate it too. But We've got the 27.5 and 29.25, and basically three casing options. So we've got XO Plus, Double Down, and Downhill options for those. So, yeah, if you want a little bit, run a little bit big tire, front or rear, yeah, now I got the DHR to cover the bases on that. And then I think we've seen rattling around on the forums. We've got you know, a new gravity tire that's in the works, and I guess I would just say, yeah, that's getting very close to being ready for prime time. You'll definitely see it more and more on the race circuit this year, and you know, and maybe at your local shop sooner than later.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Build excitement.
Yeah.
Luca Cometti, yes. Here. Talk me through what your 10x2 series is.
Yeah, so 10x2 is 10 disciplines on two wheels. It's kind of a plan I came up with to do this year. So you're doing, competing in 10 different disciplines this year. Did the first one, which was a 103-mile gravel race in Arizona.
Really just, and we survived. Kick it off strong.
Yeah. So I'm actually doing a movie premiere here Friday, and I'll be launching the video at the same time.
Sweet.
So, yeah, this weekend will be slalom, and then we're headed to TDS next weekend for e-bike enduro, and then free ride. And then at some point I'll do a regular enduro, a multi-day enduro, mega avalanche, downhill, pump track, speed and style.
Wow.
I think that's 10. So, yeah, be all over the place.
I'll say that's 10.
But, yeah. So that's kind of the plan for this year, and trying to do a whole series around it. Don't have any funding because the bike industry is super poor right now. So I got some merch made, and I'm hoping to sell some merch and help pay some people along the way. But
sick.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
It's got me excited for the year.
Yeah. What, so it's just slalom this weekend, or doing downhill too?
I'm going to be doing downhill, but the main focus for the video release is slalom. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'll be racing downhill too. So I think there's a few changes to the downhill track this year.
Yeah. I heard the top's kind of new.
Like same layout, I think, but a few different like rollers and
just touched up.
So
somebody was mentioning that, I'm like, they could do, if they just put a shovel to anything, it'd be better than it was, because it like never gets worked on.
I mean, ever since Lifetime took over Sea Otter, they've done
a
really good job of like putting money back into the tracks, because we'd show up sometimes here and the track would just be so sad. So every year they put in like good work into the track. They hired Kyle to do slalom track. So like they're putting effort into the track, and that's like what really matters, I feel like. So yeah.
Sweet.
Kudos to Lifetime.
Alrighty, I'm over here at Rocky Mountain Bikes. I got Kip with me, and he is going to run me through the new Altitude that just launched last week.
Yeah, yeah. Kip, tech rep with Rocky Mountain Bikes. So there were a couple, three really main goals, you know, moving forward with the new Altitude. And, you know, kind of with the Instinct and the Altitude model, we want to kind of segregate those models a little bit better. So the Altitude has now become like our full-fledged enduro bike. And when we talk enduro nowadays, like obviously there's the whole race side of things, but you know, I think it's that rider who wants a bike that can pedal uphill, but wants to, that's finding the most technical or rattiest trains, and they just want to ride it down as fast as possible. So with the Altitude in mind, we wanted to adjust the geometry to have a little bit slacker angles, but also a steeper seat tube angle and good adjustment integrated the frame to adjust, to personalize it to the rider. We also wanted to make the bike have a lower center of gravity. So that's just going to, one, give it more stability and high speeds, and that tip over and leaning into corners should be a little bit easier. We also wanted to make it a stiffer frame, again, just for that extra stability and ease through the rougher terrain. And then we also wanted to adjust the suspension kinematic to give it a more linear shock rate in the first 70% of this travel. And really the goal with the linear shock rate is, one, you know, in the active travel point that most enduro riders are like, aggressive riders are riding, they're always kind of sitting in that 30 to like 70% travel range, and they're in that active travel zone. So we wanted to give them more support in that end, and with the linear shock stroke, it gives it, it provides more usable travel in that first 70%, and then in the last like 35% or so, we do have a good amount of ramp up to give out that bottom out support. So in the case of the Altitude, this is the LC2R, and that is our version of a of a virtual pivot. Mm-hmm. And the LC2R, we've actually we first debuted as an LCR way back in like the early 2000s. Hmm. So this is kind of like a modified version of that. And what the LC2R, what that means is lower concentric counter-rotating. So the two C's, that's the C2 there. And the lower concentric obviously refers to this new concentric pivot that rotates around the bottom bracket. That's that lower link between the rear triangle and the front triangle. And then we have a counter-rotating second linkage that drives the upper portion of the rear triangle that's located at the C2. So, you know, with that, this design, with the LC2R linkage placed low and the shock placed low, that really helps achieve that lower center of gravity. So it's all located pretty darn low there.
Yeah.
We also, the other cool thing is with this stout concentric pivot located around the bottom bracket and this upper link, mm-hmm. it's a really short, compact link that are located centrally and low on the frame.
Yeah.
So again, it complements that low center of gravity. It also makes for a heck of a lot stiffer junction between the front and the rear triangle. So that that stiffness, and it also provides better longevity, so less maintenance with the system because there's less torsional force or like, you know, side to side forces going on with the linkage. So as far as angles, the head tube angle is a degree and a half slacker than the old version. The C tube angle is a degree and a half steeper in than the new version. We have size specific rear triangle, so smalls get 430, mediums 440, large and extra larges are 450. So three different molds for the rear triangle. We have some pretty cool adjustability and integrated the frame, you know. It's always been a big thing with Rocky, whether it's the ride 9 or whatever, like we've always had extra degree of, like I say, personalization to the rider. Mm-hmm. Everybody rides differently, has a different body fit, you know, rides different terrain. So as far as adjustability, we have the ride 4. So that's going to offer about a degree of angle adjustment in the head tube and C tube angle, about a good amount of like 20 millimeters of bottom bracket drop, more or less. And then it also does offer about 8 millimeters of reach adjustment.
Hmm.
And then another extra adjustment is we have the headset reach adjust cups. Not an angle, doesn't adjust angles, that's all on the ride for, but that you can shorten or lengthen the reach by plus or minus 5 mil.
Cool.
And then on the medium to large frames, there's a mullet chip at the back of the shock as well. So there's all those angles and adjustability lends itself to, again, just be a very versatile all mountain bike. As far as the suspension kinematic, a big goal with Rocky Mountain that we've always had in our link or in our design is to have active travel in all gears. So with some suspension designs, when you get into those bigger climbing gears, the suspension will want to firm up under the load of the chain and then the pedaling forces from the rider. We try and make it to where in whatever gear you're going to have active travel, and whether it comes to a downhill moment or whatever gear you're in, or an uphill moment, you're always going to have active travel with that. And with the VPP design with our LC2R, you know, it's obviously isolating the pedaling forces from the suspension, but still, you still have active suspension for any trail input. With this concentric pivot, it allows us to maintain that active travel in all gears. So you're always going to have like a compliant suspension wherever you're going to be at on the trail, is the idea behind it. And then with the LC2R, with this linkage in the main rocker or the upper linkage located on the C2, we were able to achieve a bit more of a linear shock stroke. So compared to the last altitude where it would sit really deep in its travel, and then the last like 45% or so, it would ramp up quite a bit. This is now in that first, you know, that active travel point, 30-7% is actually can offer, you're not going to be able to sit as deep, but you're going to be able to use that travel a lot more effectively without it ramping up too much or just blowing through it like the last design. With the progression ramp up going to be kicking in right around the last 30-35% to offer that bottom rail resistance. So it's still coil and air shock compatible. And that's a quick run through on our LC2R.
Right on. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Good stuff. All right. It's just about 1:30. Back hiding in my van in the media parking lot. Trying to escape the sun, to be honest. It's pretty hot and very, very blue skies today. But if you've watched our SL e-bike test sessions, we filmed all of it this year. And I've been dicking around with my camera the last 20 minutes because Spomer changed all my settings. And I'm not a camera guy. I'm an ex-bike racer, but I think I figured it out. But in fact, here comes the man himself. There's no cell reception at Sea Otter if you've never been, so... Hello, sir. How has your day been?
Been pretty productive.
Yeah?
Yep. trying to think of something that's... Saw G. Atherton, Wynn Masters, Charlie Hatton. I guess there's some bikes and stuff too, but it's the people that really matter to me.
I would agree. These events are like mostly people. I feel like anything, what you're not getting in this audio is all of the new stuff coming that everybody wants to talk about, but you can't do anything with.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Which I guess on one hand is cool because most brands have something new and exciting. And the other question I've been posing to everybody about the state of the industry has been pretty positive. Like, everybody has high morale about it's going to be okay. And if they've got new stuff, it's like, we got money to make new stuff. So,
yeah.
Do you want the kids riding?
Jamesy boy, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good.
I just saw your face and just like, goddamn, get out of my way.
No, I'm just recording audio constantly right now. So I was walking around and I was like, I bet I'll run into somebody pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Are you good to come by the tank later on?
Probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Are you gonna be around tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be around tomorrow. I'll chirp at you and annoy you just so I can say, hey, we had Vital here.
Yeah, I'll stop by.
Yeah, please do. Sick. Thank you.
Right on. Good seeing you. That's a pretty classic interaction of walking into Sea Otter for me. I think I make it about 2 booths at a time before I run into somebody I know and get pulled into a conversation. Hey, you want to run us through what this is again?
So this is a / Gen 5 dressed up with some new parts and new paint. We've got a really unique foam-based Project 1 paint job with this cool fade. Pays homage to earth and air. And then we've got a 9.8 GX axis build with flight attendant. So just making that Gen 5 a little more exciting, just giving it some new clothes and sending it back out there.
Sweet. For all the people that were maybe high pivot wary, they...
Exactly. Yeah. For the people that are not ready to make the jump to high pivot and want a more traditional feeling suspension layout, you know, just giving it more current parts and keeping this bike relevant for those riders.
Sweet. It looks really cool.
It
looks really good.
Yeah, I love the paint.
I'm stumbling upon a wild Dakota Norton staring at his slalom bike. How are we feeling for today?
Dude.
How you doing? You're on
that? Yeah, I'm here.
Did we find tires?
We found tires. We're currently swapping a stem. Practice started 15 minutes ago. We found a 40 mil stem off John Hall's bike. John Hall has come through for me once again. So we've made it from 35 mil to 40. We're still trying to get to 45 mil, but we're at least going in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. New bike, never rode it, have no clue what I'm doing.
You know what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing, dude.
You've been faking it till you make it for a while now.
I've been faking it for most of my career, yes. You know, it's good that you know, I just am not getting away from my roots at the moment.
It's true. I mean, we haven't seen each other in person in I don't know how long, and nothing's changed. The storm is still brewing and just taking off.
Yeah, no, I had a young kid ask me the other day if he should quit his job and go racing. And I'm like, maybe you should just go racing and keep your job. And he's like, well, like, just don't like work, you know? Just sometimes it's just got to be into the storm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like
Wolf's eat, you know? It's go get it, you know?
When was the last time you raced slalom here? Have you?
I've raced slalom here. Last year was year 2 of the Morpheus days. Went out in the round 8 to Marcelo Gutierrez.
What's that, like 2016?
Yeah, I can still feel that in my throat.
What, the pain of sprinting or what?
No, the pain of going out that early. It was, you know, it just wasn't...
You want to go back there?
I was really struggling and didn't get the job done that weekend. So I guess part of this little... This is supposed to be fun. This is supposed to be fun, but I
just... You kind of look like you're having fun.
I don't think I am. It's, dude, it's racing, you know?
Is it because you got a custom-painted bike? Does that make the pressure go up?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it might.
Yeah, it's just, you don't want to... Like,
you got, like, size 45 font of your name on the down to or top tube.
It's one thing, you know, I think it's one thing to make your... If you're racing slalom and you get smoked, but if you have your slalom comeback and you get smoked, it stings a lot more.
Yeah. Well, and, like, people might forget, but that's... that's what you're built on.
Yeah, like, this is important to me.
Yeah, you know? Like it's really way more personal than
anything. Dude, it's personal. Like I built my career in slalom, so I'm not trying to go get smoked. We got the bike this weekend. I haven't rode it, so we're gonna go bang a couple runs out on it and then try to get jiggy in the qualification. I mean, at the end of the day, I would rather like go down trying in the qualies and be at the front of the bracket than start the day from the back.
Yeah,
it makes for a long day. Part of making what makes slalom so hard is the fact that you have to hike all the rounds, and it's really physical to walk up the hill. And by the time you get back in the gate, you're still breathing from walking up the hill, and it just kind of compounds. So if you can start the day and have, I mean, all these dudes are fast, don't get me wrong, but if you can not be at 105% in the first round and then try to survive there all day, it definitely makes it easier.
Yeah.
That's slalom, baby.
Hell yeah.
Long live slalom. Let's get it.
All right, leaving the venue. On my way over to pro dual slalom practice. And then they actually have qualifying this evening, which I believe in years past, they've always done everything on Saturday. So everybody would have practice, qualifying Saturday morning, and then Saturday evening would be finals. So a bit of a change up, which sounds like it's better for all the pros trying to race, not everything packed into one day. And I've heard that the track has some waterbed sections, like the top is a baked crust and underneath that is a little bit soupy, and they've added like some odd kind of wood skinnies to get people across those bits without developing a hole. So should be interesting, but I'm gonna try to take photos of a bunch of people's bikes and go find a gallery on the site in the next day or so. If you haven't been to Sea Otter, it's not the most like perfectly laid out venue. I mean, you're basically in the middle of Laguna Seca Raceway and you end up walking around it a bunch. There's no easy way to cut through. Or if you try to walk through the venue, it's just a sea of people and tents. So I'm getting my steps in, put it that way. All right, Tommy, how's the track?
The track's actually super sick. Pretty, very technical. A lot of off camber, lots of flags. Gonna be breaking a lot.
You said you've done what side so far?
I've done the blue lane, and it was actually pretty mitt.
Okay.
There's still a few soft spots on the track, so you gotta watch out for those, like up top on the double double.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's really flowing. He did a good job.
Sick. How do you set your bike up for something like this? How touchy are you with your slalom bike setup?
Yeah, dude, I'm super in touch with that bike for sure, because we're racing it all the time.
Yeah.
Here, I went a little softer because there is so many flags.
Yep.
And like not much of a rhythm section. Just so went a tad softer. Pretty much got like downhill tires on.
Mm-hmm.
Low pressure.
Looks like it.
Yep. So that feels good. I was thinking about bringing the trail bike, but just brought the slalom 27.5.
Good luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. Stoked to watch it.
Woo!
Mr. Kyle Strait.
Hey.
What up?
What's going on?
Not much. Tell me why slalom's the best racing discipline there is.
Shoot, that's an easy one.
In one sentence.
Slalom is best racing. Oh, I'll give it to you.
The man's struggling with the zip tie.
Struggling with the zip tie. Got stuck in my clips.
I was gonna say, saw you slide out and I was gonna be like, you should go complain to whoever the hell put those flags up.
That's a fresh track. Somebody has to burn it in. That's true. Not me. To me, slalom is the best mountain bike discipline because it is a combination of all mountain biking put together, and that's why it's the sickest.
I like that. So well put together. That's a new whip. What is this thing? Is this like fully made just for slalom?
Yep.
Wow.
Made by me.
Is this thing based off of the common saw you rode? No. What's it based off of?
It's based off of geometries I like from the last 20 years of racing slalom. So there's certain things that I'm like, oh yeah, I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try this. This is,
it looks sick.
Done done in 3 months, basically, so we're just, my first lap.
Is that what everybody else is on? Like Nick and...
Yeah, they have two different sizes.
Okay.
I believe Nick's on the same size.
Okay. Well, I'll snag you at some point, take some photos of it.
Thank you, media man. I hope this helps.
This helps. All helps.
Always around you.
What pressure are we going for, Bubs?
Oh, that sound, just letting air out just continuously right now is what we're going for, because it just needs to be softer every lap.
You're just going by feel?
Right now, I have to.
Oh, that's impressive.
Every run is like, oh shit, we're sliding. Oh shit, we need more traction. Oh shit, there goes a corner.
I love it.
But I started at 37, 33.
How did you end up with the Maxxis DHF in the front and the Kenda Pinner in the rear?
You know, we have to say, we all know, tough times right now.
Not
kidding. it's just, I feel like the rubber from Maxxis is definitely softer.
Okay.
So I just kind of wanted to go with that and a little more traction right now. But I think with a little more time, the weed wax, when we're coming out with the weed whackers right now, I need a little blades. Once we get worn in, I think it'll be actually good. Mm-hmm. And we actually can start doing a little bit of adjustments. But right now, it's just like, let's go soft.
Yeah.
It's not going to change, I don't think, for qualifying. Mm-hmm. 2 hours.
What's the mentality going into qualifying?
I think everyone right now, watching everyone's really going really fast.
Hmm.
Trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, as you know, like, no one's winning practice, but when it comes to qualifying, I know it's pretty serious, but I think just insanely being patient.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people can be looking insanely fast, and I know a lot of people think I'm looking like I'm not even trying, but I am, but like, when you're just cruising, getting that inside line is going to be key here. Just like, hold outside, like,
mm-hmm.
honestly, we're going to be riding grass if we're winning,
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to be pushing out where those people are riding right now.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be more inside of it, so.
Yeah, tighten it up,
and Kyle made it really fucking, really essy. Like, mm-hmm. it's just like, on your brakes.
It looks like it's hard to race, but it'll be really good racing.
It will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll
like,
be,
it's awkward
you're
going to
see
but...
some awkward moments with people like, wow, you make mistakes? Okay. It's good. It's like, it's cool to see that, because we don't get to race slalom too often, so like, when we get to head-to-head, it's just always so exciting.
I mean, it's slalom world champs.
It is. That's right.
love it. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you. Good luck in qualifying. Get through qualifying.
Yeah, I just need
make to... Make it to... Is final still Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay, sick.
So Saturday race. Tomorrow, 8 a.m., practice for downhill.
Yep. And at least Thursday. Not everything's on Saturday like it used to be, right? Wasn't it like...
No, everything's split up.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's kind of nice, but yeah, I mean, we came here to ride, so this is what we're doing.
True.
So I'm stoked.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Spilly, Stephen Walton, let's chat Southwest Downhill.
What do you want to know?
I mean, tell the people what it is if they haven't heard about it. I mean, are you not the man behind it?
I am. That's why, you know, the logo is the logo.
You know, Southwest, Stephen Walton.
It goes hand in hand. But no, Southwest is just, it's a four-stop regional series this year. And it's the main goal is just have an elevated regional downhill series on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've seen Nico with Downhill Southeast for the last, 7-8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't really have anything like that that's USA Cycling sanctioned. So, you know, nothing crazy this year, just four stops. But hopefully grow it. You know, another stop each year until we're up to around 7, maybe 8, and just give people a good amateur outlet close to home.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed it goes good. Hope everyone comes out and should be a good time.
Was it hard to put together? Like, how do you even like take on being like, I'm gonna start a series?
Honestly, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know if it's really put together.
I guess I'll find out at round one.
Yeah, but it's it's good. Like, venue agreements are in place. Everyone's stoked. We got some good mentorship from up top. I think it's gonna be good.
Sick. When's the first round?
June 7th to 9th, Snow Valley.
Okay, sick. Be there.
All right, see ya.
All right, on my long walk from dual slalom back over to the venue. Sea of tents that is Sea Otter, and I got a meeting with GasGas. Not really sure about what, but that's going to be the closure of my day here. And then I get to go. I think I have a continental dinner tonight. And then after that, I get to go back and edit all this audio that you've been listening to. Should be fun. Alrighty, it's 11:24 at night, the end of the first day of Sea Otter. GasGas didn't have too many exciting things to show, just reiterating their new bikes that they introduced last year and they're beginning to push again. So that's exciting. Continental dinner went late. I just got done editing all the audio you've just listened to and got some things to improve and change going into tomorrow, but hopefully you guys have enjoyed this kind of concept. Maybe a little more submersive into what it's like being at this event if you couldn't make it this year or have never been. And if you're looking for more news on today, I know Johan has a bunch of photos and slideshows on the site. Johnny's been handling Instagram for us with a bunch of content. And then Spomer also made a YouTube video, day one of four. Stay tuned for more starting tomorrow. Cheers.